As we prepare our hearts for worship, hear these words from Exodus chapter 3. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame out of fire out of the bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." He said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place in which you're standing is holy ground." He said farther, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Would you pray with me? Living God, Moses knew who you were because his fathers had walked with you. We know who you are because so many faithful ones have gone before us and walked with you too. Thank you for them. Thank you for the burning bushes in our lives where you have revealed yourself to us. Thank you that this morning in this very place, we are standing on holy ground. We are here, O God, to encounter you. We are here to be changed by you. And we are here to lift high the name of Jesus and to give thanks for all those ones who have shined their lights on you, Lord. Thank you for the gift of community. Thank you for the gift of worship. Would you be so honored, O God, by what happens in this place? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you will turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 39. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better, so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you might not grow weary or lose heart. Would you pray with me? Father, we are aware that we are worshiping you with a company around us, a company of those who have loved you before us, and in company with the Father and the Son and the Spirit. We do not open the pages of your word alone, but with you, O Lord, in our midst, and with your saints cheering us on. And so would you help us hear whatever it is you want us to hear. And so you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be. And so you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. On this All Saints Day, the church remembers all of those who have gone before us in the faith, pointing the way to Jesus. Hebrews 12 verse 1 gives us just this tiny, mysterious glimpse of where these folks are. It says they are part of what the author calls a great cloud of witnesses. I love that metaphor. Have you ever been hiking in the really thick fog? Is it just me who does dumb things like that? Yes, you have. Sorry about that. Where you are surrounded on every side by this mysterious cloud. It's thick enough to keep you from seeing more than just a couple steps in front of you, and just enough really to stay on the path. But it's not so thick to keep you from moving forward, right? And so surrounded by this thick fog, you press on slowly but surely, walking on your own, but every moment you are surrounded. This is the image of how the faithful ones who are with Jesus continue to be here with us today. Don't you love that? It says they surround us. They don't hold us back, but they point the way forward step by step. Show us just one step at a time how to keep walking with Jesus. They let us walk our own path, but they are not far off, saying, eyes on Jesus, step this way. This morning we have candles all over the place. These are another symbol of what we know to be true. Each one of these is just a little light of someone who has shined their light towards Jesus on our path. And as we see these candles, we remember that even as they are with Jesus, they are literally shining here. We are surrounded. Faithful ones who have gone before us, their spirits are literally with us on this journey, cheering us on. When you run a race, it is nice to be surrounded. I ran the Portland Marathon back in 2021 before I had a baby. And most of my long training days for that marathon were done out on the Skokomish Valley Road. You know that road? Skok Valley Road? Some of you do, some of you don't. Those of you who don't know it, well, the reason you don't know it is because it's in the middle of nowhere. Nothing. I was surrounded as I would run these long runs by pastures and cows and llamas and goats. Really just a whole bunch of nothing. And those long runs on that road, sometimes I'd be out there for like 4 hours by myself. Those, they were peaceful, but those were hard runs because I found my mind was having to stay engaged for that whole time. And I would have to convince myself 1,000 times over, why in the world am I doing this again? Is there no better way to spend a Saturday morning? I tried marathon running several times before that, and I always had quit like 10 miles in because it wasn't really my legs that couldn't keep up. It was my mind that couldn't stay engaged. When I'd finally get to my car after those long, long runs, I found that my mental state was just as exhausted as my physical state. It is hard to run a long race alone. But on marathon day, it was a totally different experience. On that day, I found that I ran just once. This is not bragging. It happened once. It'll never happen again. I ran for 4.5 hours through the streets of Portland. And for that entire 4.5 hours, I was surrounded. 26.2 miles. There were people at every single spot lining the roads, cheering me on, holding up signs, some funny signs, some that said, you run better than the government. You're beating everybody behind you. Things like that, really good signs. There were folks that were passing out drinks, that were passing out snacks, and I like some snacks. Throughout the run, guy would send me a text every 30 minutes or so saying, where are you now? How are you doing? Keep it up. I was surrounded. When I got to the finish line, I couldn't believe actually how good I felt. I was tired, definitely, but mentally, I was strong. I was energized. I was just walking around like nothing had happened. It was this crazy experience. Running is literally a totally different experience when you are surrounded by people who are for you and who are cheering you on to the finish. And it is the same in this life of faith. Because we, my friends, are on a long road, are we not? And this life with Jesus is a marathon journey. And it requires a whole lot of perseverance. And we cannot do it alone. We were never meant to. And the thing is, even when we think we're doing it alone, you're like Josie, I don't need anyone. I can read the Bible myself. Even when we think we're doing it alone, the thing is, we are not doing it alone. Every single day that we are walking with Jesus, we are surrounded by the spirits of those who have loved Jesus before us. Every day. Every day, dozens of faithful saints are whispering over our lives. When we get quiet enough, we can actually sometimes hear their voices. And they are cheering for us. They're saying, keep your eyes on Jesus. Take another step with him. Keep moving forward. One more step. Keep the faith. Stay strong. Go deeper. You can go deeper than that. Take the risk. Walk with joy. Keep up the hope. Establish peace. Stay on the track. You can make it through this hard time. We've made it through. You can too. We are for you. We are with you. You've got this. Don't lose heart. In this very moment, you are surrounded. You've got a cheering section in the heavens. And my friends, I tell you, the heavens are closer to this earth than we know. We have this idea that heaven's somewhere up there and earth is somewhere down here. Oh no, oh no. Those of you who have lost a loved one, you know those moments when you feel their presence like it is right here, because it is. The heavens are closer to earth than you know, as close as the clouds on that foggy day. You do not walk alone. You are surrounded. Why are you surrounded, we ask? Why do these ones who have gone before us have this invested interest in our walk of faith? Why do they care so much? Because these ones see Jesus himself face to face. And they know better than any of us just how beautiful and just how worthy he is. And they don't want us to miss it.
Amen.
Those of you who have been coming around a while, you know that I love Mount Rainier. I love it. I love it. Having come from Texas, the fact that there is actually this glacier-covered volcano that reaches over 14,000 feet sitting in the middle of our state that is visible from so many places, it still just blows me away. And no pun intended on it. It just blows me away. This mountain is beautiful. It is majestic. It's something that I just cannot get used to. And when I have family that comes to visit from Texas, and when we're driving back from the airport, any place where I know that the mountain is going to be visible, I make sure to tell them, look, look over there. Look fast, because it's going to be gone on that side of the road next. I don't know how that happens still. Look over there. Do you see it? You see that big, crazy, beautiful mountain? Ask them, do you want to go visit it? Can we please not do Seattle again? Can we please go to Mount Rainier? Please, I will take you right to it. We will get so close to it that you can touch that thing. While it's amazing from a distance, I tell him, just wait. Just wait till you pull into the parking lot of paradise. Just wait till you get up close. I have been there and it has taken my breath away. I tell him it still does. And if I can share that beauty and that majesty with anyone who's willing to soak it up with me, I am always down for that. Even more so with our cloud of witnesses who dwell in the presence of Jesus. They are beholding his majesty up close, and the awe of it cannot be contained. And they are deeply invested in helping us see him too. They are so overwhelmed by the beauty of what they behold that they cannot help but encourage us to stay faithful to our very last breath, so we might with them find ourselves breathless in his presence and awe of his majesty too.
Amen.
They are so in love with this Jesus with whom they are at home that they cannot help but let their passion overflow to those of us who have not arrived home yet. Keep on this way. Take this step, they whisper to us. We will surround you until you are so close to Jesus that you can touch him too. Those in the cloud of witnesses They're so moved by the majesty of Jesus that they just cannot help but get others to enjoy that majesty too. Why? Why do they take such an invested interest in us? Why do they care about us? Did you catch the last verse of Hebrews 11? So often we read Hebrews 12 in isolation, and the Bible turns out those chapters follow each other. They belong to each other. Hebrews 11, that chapter tells us the stories. It's called the Great Hall of Faith. It tells stories of all kinds of faithful people in the Old Testament. It says, but even though their journeys on this side of heaven are done, their stories are not done. Hebrews 11 verse 40 says, only together with us will these Old Testament heroes be made perfect. Only with us will their stories be complete. Did you catch that? You got to read Hebrews 11 with Hebrews 12. Those Old Testament heroes of the faith, you name them, Daniel, David, Jeremiah, their journeys with God are not complete until our journeys join them. Isn't that cool? This connectedness we have as the people of God. What a gift that is. What a responsibility that is. Our journey matters, not just for us, but for the folks who have gone before us, who are counting on us to carry on the good work of Jesus too. We are in a marathon. And we've got cheerleaders on every side. But the metaphor is different here. It says we are also in a relay race. And the baton just got put in our hands. And we have got a leg to run in this story with Jesus too. Those runners who ran before us, they are actually counting on us to run our part with faith and perseverance. Have you ever seen a relay race where the first three runners did awesome? And the last one dropped the baton. It's over with. It doesn't matter. They rely on each other. The same with the people of the faith. Their faithfulness helped get us here. Our faithfulness will bring the next generation into the race. And the next one. And the next one. We all rely on each other. You do not run alone. Folks are for you. And folks are relying on you. No one's journey of faith is complete apart from you keeping on your journey. Because us Jesus people belong to each other. So my friends, don't tap out. Keep running. Run well for Jesus and run well for the team. The team. Who's surrounding us in this cloud of witnesses? Who is cheering for us here and now? As I kind of think through my cloud in your midst, I want you to use your paper and jot down the names of the people in your cloud that the Spirit brings to your mind as you reflect on these words. Who is it that's in this cloud? I've been thinking about people that I know for sure in my cloud. And the ones that I know for sure first and foremost in my cloud of witnesses are my grandparents. You've heard me talk about them many times because they are in my cloud. My grandpa was a preacher his whole life long. My grandma was a preacher's wife, faithful and true. And these two, they both lived to their mid-90s, and they loved the church to the very, very end. My grandpa, when he was like 93, hadn't preached a sermon in 5 years. I went to see him on a Saturday morning, asked what he was doing. He said he was writing a sermon. And I said, are you preaching tomorrow? He said, I don't know, but I should probably be ready. I mean, 93 years old, loved the church to the very, very end. They died without a penny in the bank because they were generous to the end. I saw my grandpa in prayer every morning. And my grandma was always the first one to help anybody in need. When I get quiet and listen, I can still hear their voices in that little Texas Baptist sanctuary belting out the hymns of the faith. They both couldn't sing a note on key like me. They didn't care. They sung out those hymns of the faith. I can still hear their words of belief in me and in God's hand on my life. for my grandma about the last 10 years of her life. Every single time I'd go to visit her, before I left, she would grab my hands and look me in the eye, and she would say, "Oh, Jamie, I just hope I get to live long enough to see what Jesus has planned for you." Oh, she believed that God was at work in my life and made me believe it too. And my grandparents, they are with him now. But I tell you, my friends, they are also still with me. And in that cloud, they're saying, keep loving the church even when it hurts. Keep singing the hymns even when you doubt. Keep serving even when you're tired. Keep starting the day in prayer. Keep your eyes on Jesus until you see him like we see him. My mom is in that cloud. She's still alive, but she's still in that cloud. She was a single mom for many years of my childhood, and she worked hard doing all the things that single moms have to do, and yet she never missed getting us to church on a Sunday, ever. She was never too busy to answer my thousands of questions. And I tell you, I had thousands of questions. And when she couldn't answer those questions, she put me in a place where I could hear the stories of faith and have a family of faith when my very own family was changing so much. My mom is in my cloud, cheering me on today, and she will be forever, saying, keep the faith, put Christ first, show your little boy that Jesus matters most, give him a church family. She lit the way for my little feet to walk straight to Jesus. My mom is in my cloud. Who are these ones for you? The first ones that you knew personally, who showed you what faith looks like. Write their names on your card. The ones who loved Jesus in front of you. Who were the ones who answered your questions? The ones who taught you how to pass the communion tray. The ones who taught you the words of amazing grace. Who are the ones who helped you find the books in the Bible or told you how to make a casserole for a sick friend? Who did God put in your life first to point the way for your heart to know him? Write their names down. They are in your cloud. Acknowledge them. Write their names down. I think of the many Sunday school teachers I had along the way. As a child and a teenager, these adults who showed up for me an hour early every Sunday with a lesson prepared to put in my heart the stories of faith. These people had no blood relation to me. They didn't owe it to me to take time for me. They didn't owe it to me to add one more thing to their already busy schedules, but they showed up for me anyway. And I tell you, I remember those felt board stories as a kid. And I remember those youth leaders who took vacation time to pour into moody teenagers. And I remember one lady named Michelle who taught my age group from 7th grade to 12th grade. She stuck with us every single week of those hardest years. She loved us. She prayed for us. She celebrated with us. She cared about our heartaches 1 week at a time. She put Jesus in front of us. Sunday school teachers, youth leaders, VBS volunteers, camp chaperones, all pointing me to Jesus until my eyes could see him too. They are in my cloud of witnesses. I would not know Jesus like I do without these faithful leaders in my youth. They didn't get paid a dime. But seeing our hearts awaken to him, that's all they wanted anyway. Who were they for you? Who taught you the stories of the faith? Who showed up for you week after week? Who wasn't related to you, but they prayed for you? And they celebrated with you, and they put Jesus in front of you. Write those names on your cloud. They are worthy of being honored, acknowledged in this place. I think of a few of my college and seminary professors. My senior year of college, Dr. Hall was his name. He was one of our theology professors. It was a fairly conservative Baptist college. By fairly, I mean very. And I decided that senior year to do a semester studying the topic of women in ministry. And Dr. Hall could have said, oh, we don't study that here. The answer is no. Instead, he put in front of me so many resources from every perspective, opened the scriptures in my midst, gave me room to wrestle with the question, to realize that there were many, many Christian voices beyond our tiny little Baptist school. He opened God's great big old heart to me and to my calling. I think about seminary, Dr. Glower, my preaching professor, and I preached my first sermons in his class and they were terrible. And yet he said, keep preaching, keep preaching. God is in you, keep preaching. He believed that there was something in me that I did not yet see in myself. Dr. Tucker was an Old Testament professor, and I remember sitting in his office with some of the really hard texts of the Old Testament and saying, what do we do with a God like this? And he let me wrestle with the hard, hard things of God in his midst, in a safe place, in a challenging place, asking me to go deeper. All of these challenge me to go deeper and deeper with God than I ever would have gone on my own. They asked me hard questions about God. They asked me hard questions about Scripture, and they made me wrestle with it. And when I doubted my calling, they didn't let me off the hook. They didn't let me stay in the faith of my childhood, but instead they showed me how to use that faith as a foundation from which to dig deeper, from which to go farther, from which to strive for more truth, for more Jesus. Who is that for you? Who challenged you? Who challenges you in your faith? Who keeps you growing? Who's asked you hard questions about God that got you digging deeper than you had ever dug before? Who saw God's hands on your life and wouldn't let you act like it wasn't there? Put those names on your cloud, because we would not know our Jesus like we do without them. Their spirits cheer us on. Keep going, they say. Deeper with Jesus. Keep going. Put them on your cloud. Over the years, I have read so many stories about faithful Christians who paid the ultimate price to follow Jesus. And their stories have inspired my own. You have these people in your life. I remember in high school, I heard about these missionaries in Iraq. And you know, my first calling was as a missionary. I was going to go to the Middle East as well. And there was a husband and a wife and a friend, American missionaries, who were in a car in Iraq driving somewhere, and they were attacked by this envoy, and the husband and friend were killed, and only the wife survived. And she was being interviewed by an American news station, and they said, are you angry at these Muslims who took your husband's life? And she said, oh, no one took my husband's life. He gave his life away many years ago. And hearing that story as a 16-year-old, God used her faith and her forgiveness and her trust and her peace to stir in my heart, Jamie, you can follow me to hard places too. Your life was already laid down. Corrie Ten Boom, she's been inspiring to all of us, hasn't she? Oh, this woman of faith who reached out her hand offering forgiveness to the Nazi at whose hands her own sister and her family was killed, saying, in the name of Jesus, I can forgive you. Oh, she inspires my heart to forgive. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, you know him? A German Lutheran pastor who stood up against the Nazis when his colleagues were caving left and right. Cost him his life in a concentration camp. Eugene Peterson, he is one who has been a pastor to pastors. He loved and served the church to the very end. And anytime I need a word from a pastor, I find a Eugene Peterson book somewhere. These are people that I've never known personally, but my soul is awakened by their souls. Their faith inspires my faith. Their race makes my race stronger. Their race gives me hope. Who are your people like these? Christians in your life that maybe you've never met in person, but their lives have inspired you to press on when it's hard, to be brave when it's scary, to speak up when others are silent, to lay your life down when it's necessary. Who inspires you to follow Jesus no matter where he might send you? Write those names down, because they are in your cloud. And they're cheering for you right now. They're saying, eyes on Jesus, you can stay strong for him too. And then in that cloud of witnesses, of course, there are our brothers and our sisters in Scripture. Many of them speak to me. Their lives direct my own life with God. Abraham, the 75-year-old who left everything to follow God where he had no idea where he was going, his faithfulness inspires my own. David, after his darkest day when he had done the sin of all sins, gets back up and finds his way back to his God and is called a man after God's own heart again. His humility after failure, God's grace in his life inspires me. Jacob, wrestling with God. Esther, the one who was told, you are here for such a time as this to do the work of God. Mary, her yes to the angel Gabriel when he said, God's doing some crazy things in your life. Okay. Jeremiah, his inability to keep the fire of God's word inside of him. Paul's passion for Jesus and for the church. Peter's devotion. Mary of Bethany and her friendship with Jesus. All of them call to me. Jamie, walk as we walked. These friends in Scripture are in my cloud. They cheer me on. Who in Scripture inspires you? Write their names on your cloud because they are with you right now, right now, holding up their signs, eyes on Jesus, one step ahead. Right now, they are here. Do you look at that cloud? If you didn't do it, you missed out because this is cool. Look at your cloud and look at all those names and give God thanks for each one because they are here on this paper, but their spirits are here in this room. Believe that. It's amazing. Look at these candles. Each one for a person who's helped light the way to Jesus. Give God thanks for them. Their spirits are in this room. Look at each other. We are already in each other's clouds. You're like, I don't want you in my cloud. They're in your cloud. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are here to encourage each other. We are for each other until we see Jesus face to face together. Give God thanks for the people in this room. You are not alone. In your walk with Jesus today, you are surrounded. Surrounded. Dozens upon dozens praying for you, cheering for you, believing in you, lighting the path for you, ecstatic to enjoy Jesus forever with you. My friends, the baton is in our hands. You are not alone. Stay in the race. Run hard. Eyes on Jesus until we see him face to face. We are surrounded. Do you pray with me? Oh, thank you, God. Thank you that you surround us and your people too. I know there are hearts in this room that feel so very alone this morning. Oh, open their hearts to see every little flame that's flickering, every name around their cloud. And would you speak so loud and clear, you are not alone. God, we need to hear our cheerleaders when we are weary. We need to see those faithful ones who believe in us when we doubt. Oh, we need the courage of the brave ones when we are afraid. And they're right here. They're right here. And so this day, this week, open our eyes to see our cloud and open our hearts to give you thanks for each and every one of them. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.